Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Bullseye Saints Hour, an inside look at the black and gold. Bullseye, the official tailgate of the Saints with Vice President Pro Personnel Michael Parenton. 14th season with the Saints. Second as VP of Pro Personnel, and you've basically, you know, been over top the Pro Personnel department since 2021.
Yep.
All right, good. Got the basics right. Here's the second obvious. Nobody wants to be 0-2. Right? It's not the design. Two things, both of the teams that you played, far better than their records in 24 would indicate, and good teams, and you're not in this sport to be competitive, but the way you played must give you, I don't know if the word's hope, but you feel like you're going in the right direction.
Yeah, no, look, I got to give those guys their credit. They won the game. They came, they played well, didn't make any mistakes, didn't beat themselves. You know, but to our guys' credit, we gave ourselves a chance to win at the end of both of these games. I think right now, in this early phase of Coach Moore's regime and us still in this information gathering phase, and we got a lot of new players, a lot of new faces in some new positions, and you know, we're trying to find our groove as well. And fortunately, we found a lot of positives from that. You know, some guys are stepping up, making some plays, some newer guys, some younger players, that their roles will continue to expand and grow. And, you know, eventually, you know, we'll get over the hump and we'll win one of these. And it'll feel really good because we've built this foundation below it that could sustain.
And because it's a culmination or combination, but it's the little things. The little things early, it's the little things late sometimes. And it's not just the penalties, it's the self-inflicted penalties, right? It's that kind of stuff that you go, hey, man, we can fix this.
Yep. That's good there, right? Like, those are things that are easy to fix. If there's a talent gap or there's, you know, injuries that are happening where there's just this, like, man, you're fighting an uphill battle here. But when there's things you can identify on film and say, hey, this is some easy stuff. And look, guys are adjusting as well. We got to give these guys, you know, they're due to say, like, all right, brand new offense, you know, there's new shifts, there's new motions, there's new plays, there's checks, there's, you know, the picture's changing across the front from them of these defenses that they're playing. You know, so these guys are having to handle a lot of mental stress up there as we adjust, and they're doing a good job, and we improve. We improve from week one to week two, and we got to continue to improve that because we can't beat ourselves.
Spencer Rattler, you want this young man to get a win so bad. The 24 numbers that are attached to him are almost need an asterisk to me. He threw 10 completions to either Shahid or Olave. 10. So, right, I mean, he was, you know, it was a tough situation, offensive line. Must be just kind of content at where he is and how he's leading and what he's doing and the decisions he's making. You want the W. You don't get
me wrong.
I can say that before.
You want it for everyone that puts on the jersey. Yeah,
right.
I think Spencer's done a really good job. I think that the signs that we saw last year that we were encouraged by was, look, there's some natural leadership to him. There's some poise to him. There's obvious arm talent to him. And I think that a lot of times, you know, when you put a guy in position to do the things that he does well, and then you supply him with better weapons. You know, last year, Chris and Sheed weren't there. The offensive line was in and out.
His center was Connor McGovern. Yeah. Nothing against Connor McGovern, but it's not Eric McCoy.
Yeah, and Eric's a big part of what we do, right? And then for young quarterbacks, I think you're seeing this across the league right now. Like, young quarterbacks, that stability up front, that offensive line, and just the cohesiveness and everything, kind of that part of it, whether it's the protection plan, whether it's the identification early on, like those parts, if you just calm that down for these quarterbacks and just let them kind of operate, you know, you can call the right plays and get guys open and do those things. And then after that, it's going to have to be your playmakers have to make plays and give you a chance to win. But, you know, Spencer's doing a great job right now, and he's certainly showing some of the things that led us to drafting him, led us to feeling positive about him at the end of the year. And now 2 weeks in, you know, we're encouraged by the things that he's doing.
You talked about, or we talked about Connor and Eric, and a couple of years ago, and it was the running backs devalued, and all of a sudden, man, we should run the ball, like, you know, like that's something new in football. And I won't say that the offensive line has been devalued, but maybe just underappreciated until the last 5 or 6 years. You just can't go out and find a guy and say, hey, you're our backup left tackle and you're the blindside guy. I mean, that the appreciation of all 8 or 9 guys that you have on that O-line, and practice squad included, it cannot be understated.
Yeah, I think the moment you think you have too many of them, you don't have enough. You know, and I think that's one thing that you got to keep reminding yourself of, and you got to keep looking and keep trying to build that strength, because, you know, as we looked at last year, all of a sudden the injuries start to mount up, and your third guard is now your first guard, and he's actually your third best offensive lineman because the other two guys are dinged up. And then, you know, we come into camp and our entire backup offensive line is now on injured reserve, and those things happen. You know, that's part of the game. That's a little bit out of our control. So I think when you look at the value of an offensive line now, which obviously I'm passionate about, I think you look at the impact of negative plays in our league in terms of success rates. You know, getting behind the chains early, negative, you know, a sack, a negative run. Like, it's a lot harder to convert now. Defenses are getting a lot better. Everybody's playing these split safety coverages. There's not a lot of explosive play opportunities, so it's going to be hard. There's hard downs to be earned, and so when up front, when you're stable and guys are playing well, it just kind of calms all that down, and you see some of these younger quarterbacks that have had success. When the play up front is good, they've been able to operate well.
That's interesting, because I wasn't going to ask about the explosive plays, but they've had 3 in the 2 games, 1 in game 1, the 39-yarder, you know, in the first minute, and then a 20-yarder, so just the 3, but what you talk about with the defenses, they're set up to take that away first.
Yes. Our defenses are so much more advanced now in the last 5 years than what they've gotten to, particularly with disguises, simulated pressures. Like, people are bringing 4, and it's going to look like 6 early on. You know, so there's a lot of post-snap movement with these defenses, and they're keeping a roof on to where they're not really letting you run through the middle. You know, last year, Shahid had 2 touchdowns where he just outright beat split safety coverage, which no one does, you know. So you're not seeing this single high working a safety one way or the other. People are just taught, like, hey, let's make them go the long hard way, 10 to 12 plays. We'll take our chances, force a negative, force a turnover, something like that, or we'll give up a field goal and we're going to bend but don't break. That's really what you're seeing mostly throughout the league now, particularly with the 2 defenses we played in the first 2 weeks.
And we spend a lot of time, as we already have, talking about the offense. And this is a defense that is a completely – they've, you know, offense, new plays – you know, as Dusoy says, you know, zone run is a zone run, right?
Yeah.
You know, toss crack is a toss crack.
Yeah.
But defensively, there's a lot more change on that side, and the timing, defenses are typically behind. You know, the timing takes time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's philosophically, you would say, is completely different from anything we've done in my time here, which has been really cool developmentally. Where you say, okay, we've been 4-down structure, we've been primarily man coverage. So there's a type of player that you're looking for. The defensive ends are a type of body type, and now all of a sudden we're learning this new language, and Coach Staley is fantastic at telling that story and giving you examples of players that they've had in their time. And it's not just the Khalil Max. It's like the rotational players that had to play this game in the playoffs that we were able to win with, you know, in this scenario. And then our corners are being asked to do a lot different. So, you're talking about technically, you're talking about assignment standpoint, philosophically, like your hard downs are just played a lot differently now. And so, yeah, there's going to be a lot of adjustment there, but hopefully, you know, there's some good players. I think you've seen DeMario has kind of flourished early in this defense. There's a value for a guy like Devon Godshaw, Nathan Shepard, you know, those guys, like good players are going to play everywhere and be good players everywhere they go. But, you know, some of the things this scheme brings, hopefully we get better versions of our good players.
And it feels like a Nathan Shepard, a Christian Boyd, and different players that maybe were X in the old defense are different in this defense, and especially Nathan Shepard. I don't, you know, he had such a terrific camp, and he, you know, but it's when you're in the trenches, you don't, you know, you make a stop for a yard. That's a great defensive play, but you give up a yard, it's not noticed. But he had, you know, he's one of those guys.
Yeah, Shep is a guy that the value of Shep is that he plays on red all day, every day. Like, he is full tilt. And so his style of play is going to travel regardless of the scheme, right? Now, not to get too deep into the weeds on it, he's only played in a certain type of structure. And so now this is the first time he's had to play with this front. And it's kind of unlocked a different part of his game. So that's been really cool. And, you know, it helps Brian Breesy be a better player. It helps, you know, Cam Jordan and Carl Granderson, all these guys flying around playing away, and Coach Staley uses a lot of different personnel packages to let those guys just do what they do well. So it's been great.
A question about Brian Breesy. When we come back, take a quick break. This is the Saints Hour, the Bullseye Saints Hour, here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back with the Bullseye Saints Hour, an inside look at the black and gold, the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints. That is Bullseye with Vice President of Pro Personnel, Michael Parenton. Probably should have done it off the top. Didn't. Thibodeau native, E.D. White, played at Tulane with the Jets for a time. And we have time, so we're gonna get to some of that. Going to give you some time on that. But we ended the last segment talking about Brian Breesy. If we were to set up, if we were to go out to the practice field and try to simulate where he has to stand when he blocks, when he leaps over and blocks these field goals, and then put a center and put a box there and two guards with their feet back, that if we built something with boxes and show people what he is doing, I don't think there's an appreciation for it.
You know, you go through the reps on practice and it's drawn up. You kind of hear it discussed. And you're like, yeah, okay, yeah, maybe it works. You know, like there's a risk of penalty there, obviously. You just saw with Denver this past week. No. That's right. And then there's like a synchronized art to how everything goes, whether the guys are, you know, you're getting two snaps of verification that the look is there to run the block. and then you're pulling the trigger to call it, and then it's got to be executed the proper way, and then the kick has to be, the kick point has to be at the point where it blocks it. So it's pretty phenomenal. And then when you watch it on film, I think the one thing that jumps out to you is the appreciation for Brian, just how athletic he is for his size.
Because it's not just up, it's out.
Yeah, up and
that's
over.
That's the difference, right? And it's not a running start. I mean, it's and but there's appeal goals. Just do it every time. But there's a certain look.
Yes,
that has to happen.
Certain, you know, certain teams will place their blocks from, you know, kick side to offside, edges, internal, you know, whatever. So that's just like when you're looking at a coverage and you're saying, hey, in the red zone, they're going to play these three coverages and likely the pressure on these downs. And so these are the plays we think we can hit them on. So, you know, Coach Galliano did a great job of scheming that up and making the call. And Kyle Wilbur, both those guys, I think, do a great job. And look, Brian's done it two times now. So I think the book's kind of out on him for what it is, but he's got a knack for it.
And then the goal, not the goal, but you start as a kicking team, start seeing Brzee sitting there in the middle. Now maybe my wings are a little more, I got to focus. And all of a sudden now a guy on the edge gets one.
That's right. Or maybe those guys' pad level is higher because they're worried about him jumping. And so then you're getting more push and there's more an internal push block there. You know, so there's a lot of good. Look, you execute at a high level. You do good things. People are going to notice. And then it's going to help out other parts of your team.
There's been so much change. You're just walking up and down the hallways of this building, I'm sure, for the past year. And really a meeting of the minds. You brought in Randy Mueller, former GM last year. Thomas Dimitroff, long-term general manager for Atlanta, been with several teams as a consultant. It's, you know, even though the core, you and Jeff and Mickey and Kai, you know, remain, but it's there's no egos. It's if you can help us, we don't care.
Yeah, that's the hope. You know, and the right guys have to make that work, right? And Mickey's done an awesome job of making us all feel valued and making it come across that, look, everybody's voice matters. You know, if you have an opinion, see something, say something, you know, and we just want to get it right. Doesn't matter who's right. And I've had the benefit now of working under so many great people in terms of, you know, Ryan Pace, Terry Fontenot, Jeff Ireland. Those are three GMs right there, right? And Kai, obviously, the things that he's done with the salary cap. But now we're talking about a Dave Ziegler, a Randy Mueller, a Thomas Dimitroff. Well, now that's even more, you know, of a knowledge base to just sit in these conversations and just understand, you know, Thomas to talk about, well, hey, you know, when we used to work out practice squad players, this is how we used to come to those decisions. This is what the head coach used to like to see. And Randy to talk about, you know, in terms of certain roster mechanics, the things that they would look for. These guys have a lot of wins under their belt. They've had a lot of experience. We'd be silly not to listen to what they're saying. And as long as, like I said, they've all been the right people. You know, they all have a high, high amount of respect for Mickey. You know, and they want to help this team win because Mickey does it the right way. And so that's all been really awesome to kind of experience and sit in my seat, you know, only 14 years in and just get to experience all those things. And I have a great staff that all of our guys appreciate that as well. So we're getting, you know, master's program, you know, on management.
I haven't had a chance to speak with Thomas yet, but I look forward to it. His dad was a coach, spent a lot of time in Canada. Mm-hmm. Also worked under Bill Belichick, so I got a pretty good idea of you know, of who I'll be talking to. Has anybody around here explained 28-3 is still a thing? Like he's going to see it on a billboard and go, what the heck? It's still a thing.
Look, I'm sure there's a lot of stuff with that game that he has to deal with outside of our banter. You know, like I think that's just one of those things. It's like the no-call game for us. Look, everybody wants to talk about it. And just unless you were there, you could never understand it, you know. And so, but he's great. Look, he talks about so much of that stuff. And even through that Super Bowl year or, you know, Matt Ryan and just what they did for him and some of the parts that made Matt, you know, who he was, or Dan Quinn, you know, how he evolved as a coach. So, you know, Thomas has got the right mindset. He's been awesome about everything.
We had Teron Armstead on last week. Phenomenal interview. He almost couldn't talk about the no call game. He went down and he said it was one of his best games as a player, but he didn't want to go down that road because, believe me, and I agree with you, I was standing on the field. And so unless you were there and felt somebody just gut punch you, we could say, you know, 20 years from now, if I said, hey, look who's here, Bill Vinovich, you'd know exactly who I was talking about. He did the Rams practice and, you know, the joint practice, and I was talking to the Rams play-by-play guy, and I go, dude, Bill Vinovich? And he goes, oh, you mean our buddy Bill? I go, oh, the teams look at it differently. We don't. That's not what we call him in New Orleans.
We're in a unique career where certain parts of our lives are memorable to a lot of the parts of the world. You know, in a lot of jobs, we get to say that. And when you work long enough, fortunately, you're able to work long enough to see a lot of the highs and a lot of the lows. And that's just one of those ones that you'll carry with you forever.
How much money would it take? If you look at college football right now, NIL, you get college coaches leaving because they're tired of going into their own locker room after the game and re-recruiting the same guy they recruited in high school. They're not even recruiting guys in high school anymore. How much would it take for you to switch jobs with Jeff Ireland and have to deal with that?
Look, I think it's becoming a more and more difficult art, you know, to figure out what motivates guys, what type of guy they are. You got, you know, four or five different sources throughout a four-year career where there's different position coaches, there are different universities, there are different handlers and negotiations. And, like, I think the one thing we can't ever undersell is competitiveness. You know, and just you watch some of the better players in our league, some of the top players in our league, and one thing that stands out is their style of play and their competitiveness. They're not getting fundamentally developed as much as they ever were because they're changing schools and changing schemes every year now. The weight program is taking a hit because of that, you know, and so your guys are going to need more time in the weight room. They're going to need more time with nutritionists, and their bodies are going to have to go through some change with that. So there's more stress on your support when they get here to understand it. But as long as on the tape we can identify this guy makes plays, he plays it the right way, and he's a good person, like, you're going to be able to win with those types of guys. And then we just have to be smart enough to put them in the right place to succeed.
For you, are there seasons to your job? Trade deadline is November 4th, Tuesday, November 4th, which reminds me my wife's birthday is November 3rd. So that's
I'm the second.
All right, there you go. Now, I won't forget that because we'll think about the trade deadline. So obviously this, and we're going to get to this preseason, summer, fall, and then the spring with free agents. I mean, are those kind of, you know, your most busy times?
It's a good question because it's a little bit vague in terms of, like, what do we define as busy, right? Like, if you're in pro scouting, there's always something going on in terms of, like, at any moment you can sign anyone and acquire them. You know, like, whether or not you need to trade for them, whether or not you want to claim them off of a practice squad. You got 700 guys getting cut that you want to talk about for your roster. Or it's the summer and the UFL's just ended and you're trying to add, or it's free agency. And then also during that time, you're helping out in the draft process and going to the combine. So I think we kind of have like a full year deal going on. Sometimes it's heavier, sometimes it's lighter than others. Probably our heaviest work time is going to be in the preseason because there's so many new players and so much film to watch. You're getting ready for week one. You're assessing your own roster. You're comparing it to other teams' rosters. But that's where, like you said, all these guys that we've brought in, their experience and just their knowledge, their connections across the league, you know, you're trying to gather as much information as we possibly can about who's going to get cut. You know, where is this team heavy that they may have a player that can help you? You know, we go get Luke Fortner this year. You know, Trey Palmer gets cut and we have an interest in that player. You know, Xavier Truss. You know, like, just, well, like,
careful, you start down that list because we're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
It's lengthy.
And not all claims or signings are created equal. It may be about what your roster looks like at that time, or it may just be, hey, this player's too good to pass up. We got to try to add this player any way we can, and we know we're going to be heavy there for a minute. That's different than free agency where there's a little bit of a buildup and you're looking at your list and you're just trying to evaluate those players as opposed to evaluate those players.
Take another quick break and then we'll be back with Michael Parrington. This is the Bullseye Saints Hour on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to the Bullseye Saints Hour, an inside look at the black and gold. The Saints off to Seattle this week, then to Buffalo. We are with Vice President of Pro Personnel, Michael Parrington, and we kind of ended the last segment talking about the trades and how busy it has been. And I can't remember, I'm old, they've been picking up guys in waivers and practice squad, but the trades, Luke Fortner, Devon Vele, Austin Richards, Jalen Polk. I mean, that's a unique one right there. I mean, but is it, one, am I accurate? It feels like there have been more trades where you're just bringing a guy and you're putting him into your system. And this has been since the second preseason game I'm talking about here. More to make yourself better and not just about a waiver wire or a practice squad, but putting him on the roster.
Yeah. Look, like I said before, our staff has got some really, really talented guys, and they communicate really, really well. And this current coaching staff has done a great job of communicating what they're looking for. You know, it's kind of like you get your grocery list ready and you say, I'm going to make a gumbo today and I got these. I want it to be chicken sausage today. Okay, well, it's going to be these types. I want a little spicy or a darker root, whatever. That analogy, right? Don't give me too much Thibodeau there. But so you know what you're looking for. Then there's other positions where, like, offensive line, we have a bunch of injuries. Our depth is kind of, like, crippled there. So, okay, who are some of the teams that are heavier on the offensive line? You're making calls. You're kind of, like, assessing, okay, tackles. Who's going to really help us here? Who are some guys? We went back in the draft process. We remember the read. We like the skill set. We like the traits. They're a younger player. There's some financial flexibility to them because they're on minimum salary deals. So that's obviously advantageous. Then, you know, with a guy like Fortner as a veteran player, we went through injuries last year. You talked about Connor McGovern, like a veteran player that's had a ton of starts under their belt at center. We love Torricelli, but, like, let's get somebody else here that's going to help us to treat Torricelli the right way and groom him to be ready to play when he's ready to play. You know, so all those things are kind of different, same but different as we go through the preseason in that process. And Devon was obviously the big one because you saw it this past weekend. We wanted a big body in the red zone. We wanted a guy like a Marcus Colston that we were so spoiled by for so long. And the guy's smart and he's big and he catches it, you know, and so that'll complement the other guys around him.
And so you were an offensive lineman. You played offense and defense at EDU White, but offense at Tulane. That's why we've spent a little more time on the offensive line. And that has been the challenge, though, because you bring in Fortner and Awesom and Xavier Truss. Well, really, Richards and Fortner, get out there.
Yeah,
you've had
yeah.
very little time with this team, less than a month, 3 weeks to – you know, learn everything. So that's the challenge: is that you're not. They don't have a slow build up. You've needed them. Fawaga's injury, Trevor's injury. You needed them.
That's right. You know, Dylan Radunz has done a great job, right? And those guys play a lot of ball. And it's like Deuce told you, like, once you just tell them, hey, you're ordering a steak, it's just in a different language. This is what we call inside zone. This is what we call this 5-man protection. This 6-man protection. If you're right from your college evaluation process, which our guys do a great job of. You know that they're smart, and you know that they love football, and they're going to come in, they're going to do what it takes to be ready to go in the game. Now, there may be some wrinkles, some things that they just, because they weren't a part of the whole training camp, OTA development there, you may have to take a little more time to teach them, you know, this is how we do it. I know the way that you, but those guys have all been fantastic stepping in.
At Tulane, Bachelor of Degree in Finance with a Master's of Accountancy, which I assume that's accounting. I'm not 100% sure that I've heard it said that way. What was the plan?
The plan,
right? You were undrafted free agent with the Jets, yeah. So you're going to play that ride that plane as long as you can.
Yep.
But after that,
so what I had done was, Tulane has this awesome massive accounting program where in your fourth year you start to work on your master's. So you're getting your undergrad and your master's all at the same time. In your final semester at Tulane, you do a busy season internship. With one of the big, at that time, it was big five accounting firms. So I had one lined up with Ernst & Young. Instead, I chose to go work out for the draft, trained, got signed, came back, did my intensive studies, got my master's, and then circled back, ended up taking a job with KPMG, and was an auditor with KPMG for a year. But during that time with KPMG, because of Mike Tannenbaum and Bill Callahan, two guys that both would talk to me while I was in the building with the Jets about getting into scouting, getting into coaching, whatever I wanted to do, I would take PTO from KPMG and make school calls and just go visit Southeastern, Tulane, Nichols, McNeese, whatever, write up mock reports, shoot it over to them for like advice. Hey, is this what you would be looking for? This is who I talked to. Kind of like getting like a little bit of an internship on like being a scout. And before long, within a year, I realized that I was in the wrong job, and probably a lot sooner than that. But by the time I admitted,
were you in a cubicle? I envision you in a cubicle somewhere.
I went to a couple different spots, did some inventories, and did a couple audits at various, you know, Shaw Group in Baton Rouge or Amedisys, or you know, like some big time companies, you know, and really got to be put in my place a little bit to be an NFL player that now was in a cubicle and or counting pipes out of a shipyard or something like that.
Terrebonne General started something very unique about 8-9 years ago, and that's the Bayou Region Hall of Fame. You are part of the 2025 class. It's one of the smartest things I've ever seen. If you go back and look through some of the previous class, Bobby Hebert was in the original class. You were with Ed Ogeron. in the 2025 class. Hank McCullough, I knew him as Hank, Harry mm-hmm. McCullough, Tommy Hodson, Wally Whitehurst, Brandon Jacobs. I mean, I could go with Juwan Dawson, Verdan, Richie Cunningham. I mean, because this, we're just starting. Mm-hmm. And the people just don't – you needed this to show people – you don't understand how many great athletes come out of this area.
Yeah, it was a really, really cool thing. And Mike Dettillier had told me about it, and he said, hey, you're going to be a part of this class. This is going to be a big deal. I want you're going to love it. Like, this is going to be cool. And so I do, you know, some of the video stuff and kind of like the lead up. But then when I got to the ceremony and you know, one of the coaches that got inducted, Ernie Brown, right, his nephew Andre was my dad's best basketball player ever. Went to play at Seton Hall for PJ Carlissimo and was like a big time player. And then Mark Davis, who was a basketball player, went to play for the 76ers. He played around the NBA for a while. He was playing at Thibodaux High while my dad was coaching. And we would pick up Mark, bring him to practice. Like, he was around, you know. And so there were all these like interconnected like stories. And then, you know, Bebe gets up there and starts talking about.
Did you speak before or after?
After, which is a hard.
Oh, baby.
It was a hard act to follow because he was tremendous. And Bobby was there. And you know, dad, when dad was. You know, dad went to Nichols and then got into coaching at Edie White and at Vanderbilt. Like, Bebe was around and they were, you know, the coaches' clinics in Baton Rouge and all that stuff. So, like, they knew each other. And so it was like family. You know, it was like a big family reunion. And you hear these stories and you just, like, particularly with Coach O is that you heard how proud he was to be a part of the region, right? And then you get to see the whole deal and you understand, like, these guys are doing such a great thing to call to light all the great people that have been there. And just how unique it is to come out of that environment in the small town, the working class people, and understand that's really what makes you who you are. And kind of like now you're this, like Eric Andelsek was my idol growing up. Eric is in it. But like I worked out in Eric's old gym. I played football with his nephews. I wore 65 for Eric. So to be in the Hall of Fame where Eric was, you know, like it was just such a touching deal. I was over the moon, you know, walking out of there for the whole experience.
And you must be over the moon as well with your alma mater.
It's great. And like, fortunately, like Willie did a great job too. And yes. John and I have gotten close because we're similar ages. Our wives are similar ages. The kids are awesome. I couldn't pick a better person to just be just the identification of that program. I think he's about everything that you want to be. He's a great role model for those kids. Obviously, I go over there and visit that program a good bit. I know he's got great people working for him. And just the type of kids that you're around, you know, makes you proud. And so we got another big one this week.
Yeah, you've been very generous always with me and very generous with your time. Good luck this weekend. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Let's pause 10 seconds to let stations identify themselves here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Professional football has gone well beyond X's and O's and lifting weights. We will talk to the Director of Sports Performance, Ted Rath, next. This is the Bullseye Saints Hour on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos,
maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Saints Hour, the Bullseye Saints Hour. Bullseye, the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints, joined now by Ted Rath, Director of Sports Performance, 15 years in the NFL, first with the Saints. When you came in, was there a directive or do your thing? You know what I mean? You know, hey, we've had this and this, or hey, you've proven it, do your thing.
Yeah, I think the really cool thing, number one, the established leadership that they've had with Mickey here, he's been entrenched. So I think that stability helps to where he can say, hey, you know, we vetted you, we've looked in your background. The beauty is I've known Kellen for a really long time, so that made the transition very, very easy. And I think it was more of a, hey, let's install this. How can we build this, and what are we missing? What can we add, and how can we make this thing the best in the entire NFL?
And step one, I'm assuming, is assessment of what happened last year, the number of injuries, the number of soft tissue injuries, the what was the process, and it changed some with Rizzi, and so you had multiple things going on. That's step one, right?
Absolutely. And in step one, going all the way back, Mike, honestly, this was going on during the season, because the cool thing is you know what jobs are trending to be open, and then when there's moves within the season, you know. I worked with Darren Rizzi in Miami, so I know Rizzi. I actually talked to him a little bit when he took over. So knowing those things and having a little bit of the background of what was going on, it makes the assessment a little bit easier and a little bit faster, because by the time your feet are in the facility, it's time to go, and you got to put the foot to the gas pedal. So I think that was the cool thing. The assessment never stops. It's always ongoing. But step one is, all right, what was the issue? Soft tissue injuries are obviously the ones that you really want to focus on, because a lot of times they can be preventable. But realistically, it's football. You know, injuries are going to happen. The other side of this, Mike, is we're trying to limit how impactful the injury is. So it's not just preventing. We want to prevent every single injury that we possibly can, but we also want to minimize the impact of the injuries if something does occur. There's a big difference between missing maybe one game and 3, 4, 5, 6 games. So in our business, we're trying to get the guys as healthy and as available as possible, because when our guys are on the field, we have a better chance to win.
I don't want to go through too many of them, but if you look at Ben Stolberg, Director of Sports Medicine, and Schoen, the head athletic trainer, you have the director, if nutrition, physical therapist, you have Jamie. It has become very individualized in your time in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, Mike, looking back when I first started in 2009, it is light years ahead of where it was. And the greatest team sport in the world, I truly believe, is football. And that doesn't just stop with the players on the field, the support staff, the coaching staff. You look at our coaching staff, that's 30 people. We have to be communicating at an elite level with those coaches, because when you're looking at workload management and maintenance of some of our veteran players, the guys that we're trying to keep healthy and optimized when we hit Sunday, we need to communicate with our coaches, with our athletic training staff, with the sports medicine staff, the nutritionists. There's 1,000 conversations going on at rapid speed every single day, and that's the beauty in it. Communication. If we want to have great collaboration, we have to have great communication, and that's where it starts with all those people.
Is part of it also because football's year-round now, and there were times when it would be the off season and guys would go work with their guy, but you want to provide kind of a one-stop shop. Hey, everything you need, we will provide for you here, and then you're able to monitor it.
That's a great point, Mike, because we do. This is a full-time job. As you can imagine, in-season, the players are in the building a lot. Off-season is where we're trying to, once again, optimize. So we're trying to heal connective tissue, joints. The damage that a player goes through for an almost 7-month period of time throughout training camp all the way through the season is immense. So we're trying to really rapidly get them back to where we can hit the ground running in the off-season when we start again in April. So that middle road, that pre-off-season, that's the crucial time where we're locking in. Don't gain bad weight. Lock into your nutritional habits. Lock into the recovery modalities that we can implement, whether they're here or away. I've gone so far, I've traveled in the offseason to go visit some of these players to make sure that they're set up and optimized with their routine and with their structured training.
I don't know that there's any two places more different than Metairie and Irvine, California, for practicing. So it's there's got to be different protocols, right?
Absolutely. And the cool thing is we always looked at this. I talked to Kellen about this when we first took this job. We're going to utilize the heat and the humidity to our advantage because it can become a physiological advantage, and that's what we're going to use. We're going to play in hot games. We're going to play in Carolina. We're going to play in Tampa. We have to go to these hot and humid environments, so we're going to capitalize on that. Now, at the same point, training camp, we can optimize that category, but then we can also come out of that and go to a place like Southern California where we don't have to really deal with it. We can mitigate some of the extenuating circumstances from the environmental factors, and then that allows us to ramp up our training. So now we can overreach. Now we're actually training harder than we're actually going to compete in a regular game from a volume perspective, from an intensity perspective. So all those things are trackable. That's the cool thing. Every step that our players take, we're monitoring, we're looking at, and we're assessing.
I can't remember who told me that. I think it might have been Kendre Miller. He said he was wearing something on his shoulder, and he was there tracking my steps. And I was like, gosh, what in the world would an NFL player, like, fell in number eight? I was like, it's just the technology is so much different and allows you to be so much more individualized for each player.
Absolutely. And the technology is really what's changed, Mike, because when you look at over the last 10 years especially, you look at what we can get just from a force plate. That's a force pressure mechanism to where we're actually measuring ground reaction forces. We're testing our players, and we're getting almost 100 metrics per jump. Every time a player steps foot on that platform, we're collecting millions of rows of data by the end of the season. That's telling us things like neuromuscular fatigue. That's telling us how to optimize efficiency, where they're putting out power, their power potential, all those things. We can track strength numbers. We can track acceleration, decelerations. We can track lateral loads, how much you're pushing on your right side compared to your left side. All those things they're tools. Those are tools, and that allows us to ask better questions, develop more clear context, and then train our athletes a little bit better, hit that bullseye for that individualized manner like you were talking about earlier.
And the success of that, and I'm just guessing, is Brian Brzee. And not the sacks, but the ability to stand and leap over a human being, and you can't touch him with anything. I mean, that kind of, you know, hey, we're close, but if you did X, you can get this.
It's the game within the game, Mike, and that's really what I love about this profession, because when you look at it physiologically, what does a player need to do? Every single position is so unique in the movement patterns, the force production that they're going to have to accumulate, the braking, the bracing, the deceleration, an offensive lineman versus a defensive lineman. Just those two mechanical oppositions are so vastly different. Training those players to optimize all those movement patterns is really trying to find a puzzle that is a billion pieces and fit it into one, and do that for 90 players when you're handling the entire roster.
Need to take a break. More with Saints Director of Sports Performance, Ted Rath, when we come back. This is the Bullseye Saints Hour on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Talking with Ted Rath, Director of Sports Performance here with the New Orleans Saints. You mentioned Philly. So last 4 years were in Philly. So you started in 2020. So here's the thing about Philly that I think is interesting. So people automatically just think, oh, you were at Philly the last 4 years. What a great time that must have been. You won the Super Bowl in 2017. When you arrived in 2020, they went 4-11. Now that was the COVID year, but still 4-11. So you weren't handed, you know, this team. But then by 2022, back in the Super Bowl. So it's the same. It's not always a quick fix. I guess that's the point I was making.
No, it rarely is, Mike. And even fast forward, before that was L.A. Rams. We went in there in 2017 with Sean McVay. They were 4-12 the year prior. We won the division year one. We were in the Super Bowl year two. So when I took the job in Philly, it was more of a rebuild. We understood that. Doug Peterson, phenomenal guy. Got a great opportunity to work with Doug, and just an incredible human. And we had a down year. We were 4-11-1. Like you said, we tied the Bengals that year. And when we go back and look at that, it was a struggle of a year, but it also forced positive change. At the end of that year, I was fortunate. I got to help interview our head coaches. I got to be on the head coach hiring committee. We hired Nick Sirianni, and we put the plan into place. And we said, all right, what's the long term? What's the short term? How can we have a dramatic impact in year one? And we ended up getting in the playoffs in year one. And like you mentioned, we went to the Super Bowl the second year. And it was, sometimes you have to have a dramatic shift in order to force some change and maybe look under the rug, where sometimes winning covers up things that you can sweep under there. And it forced us to take a deep, hard look and change the things we needed to.
Last year, you wrote your first book. Well, I have to read it. Beyond Comfort, Mastering a Growth Mindset Through Urgency. First off, tell me about the title.
Yeah, you know, urgency and excellence are two things that really I've tried to live my life by. Daily improvement, daily excellence. And I do believe urgency has to live when you want to create elite levels of excellence. And I've seen this in sports, in business, and some of the people I've been fortunate to be around in my life. And the people that are truly high performance operate at a tempo. They have urgency. And you look inside a football building, Mike, it's no different. You know, in the NFL, it's fast-paced. But you look at what we're trying to accumulate and trying to stress from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the plan and the process is moving at rapid speeds, and you have to be on top of every little detail. So beyond comfort is embracing that. It's going to be uncomfortable. Losses are uncomfortable, but so is training. Training and putting your body into a position where you have to create this stress so that therefore you can adapt and become a stronger, more optimized individual. That's how we create elite level players who can go out there and help us win football games. So going beyond comfort, I think that's a great microcosm for life, for football specifically, but everything that we're all encountering on a daily basis.
Who's your audience?
Great question. As I was writing it, to be honest, Mike, I was writing it to myself because these are words that I live by, and it helped me develop a clarity of thought. And then I realized I've had my kids read it. My kids are in third grade, fourth grade, and sixth grade. And, you know, they joke, oh, dad's going to give us another life lesson. I'm like, kids, you're going to enjoy this one day. So for me, it was really important to write for a wide variety of audiences, because I think anyone young all the way up into someone just trying to create a healthy lifestyle change who is later in life, they can benefit from this book because it's simple, it's actionable, it's stuff that we all need. And I'm talking to myself more than anyone, but you need it if you really want to create a better path for your life.
Just a couple more questions. You played linebacker at the University of Toledo. When from that did this passion for strength, and because back then it was like a strength coach, right? Now for, you know, director of sports performance, it's a completely different animal. But when did that come about?
It did through playing. I was really fortunate. Our head strength and conditioning coach at the time at Toledo, his name is Steve Murray. He works within Army Special Forces now. He's awesome, but he was a mentor of mine. And I just got to the point, I caught the bug early. As a player, you realize the harder that I work and the more effort that I put into this area, the better my outcomes are on the field and really in everywhere. The more disciplined that you can be in your eating habits, your studying, your film review, everything, the better player you're going to become, but the better student you're going to become, the better father, husband, whatever you're trying to do. And I realized that at a young age. So I immediately started to see, okay, this could be a really legit career path, but I also get to have an impact on people. I love having a positive impact on players, on people, anyone you can come into contact with. And I felt like performance coaching is the perfect avenue to drive change, to drive positive change. So I credit everything, you know, to those early formative years at Toledo where I saw this could be a legitimate career path.
And finally, the difference of the league. I heard somebody say it on the radio, so I stole it, but I don't remember who it was, but it's not mine. Is that the NFL body now, almost irrespective of position, is not an F-150 truck. It's a Ferrari. And things that happened at 100 miles an hour are different, and that's what you're dealing with. And if you've ever watched any practice or any game on the sideline, which I have, you see it and you feel it. It's their bodies have to be finely tuned Ferraris.
Yeah, and the details, like I said earlier, they matter, Mike. This is the cool thing, because when you can take a Chris Olave, when you can take Rashid, when you can take a Eric McCoy and improve them by 1%, that's taking that Ferrari in tuning just a little bit to where you can take a little bit of a corner. If you're in a race, there's a difference between going 160 miles and 163 at the end of the race. You're literally creating space. With our athletes, it's no different. If Chris Olave, if we can optimize his lower shin angle coming in or going out of a cut when he's running a route, that's the difference between him creating 6 inches of space and separation and 2 yards of separation. So now Spencer Rattler, whoever's throwing the ball to him, can fit that into the tight pocket because we've created that separation. Those are those little details of the 1% that really add up and matter.
All right, I lied. That's not my last question. Because did you just say lower Chris Olave's shin angle by a couple of degrees?
Absolutely. Yep, those details matter, Mike. And everything, once again, everything's trackable. We can look at this and we can quantify it. We can use objective data and we can go in and actually isolate what areas we really need to specify and train with all these guys.
It's amazing. And you wonder where it's going to be 5-10 years from now. Ted Rath, Director of Sports Performance. Best of luck this season. I hope you're busy, but not too busy, if that makes sense.
I appreciate that, Mike. Thank you.
That's our show for tonight. Thanks to Charlie Long in the booth. We will look for you next week, hopefully after a win in Seattle. This has been the Bullseye Saints Hour on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.